We had been talking about the other day with Bill Gates.
Yes.
Going through a divorce. And I guess it makes it more interesting because when people think of Bill Gates, they think of the money that he has and how that's all going to be divided up. Okay. Now, while you guys are sitting over there trying to figure out who's going to get the dog or the ottoman, okay, these people have some serious mess that they have to go through. And we wanted to talk about it a little bit, but we don't really have the insight. And as always, like we always do, we reach out. We have Sarah Wesley from Wesley Clark and Peshkin on the Gates divorce. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you guys?
We are doing fine. I don't even know where to begin on this. So let's say you're at the office.
Right.
You're just kind of chilling. And then all of a sudden, the Bill Gates comes in and he says, I think I'm getting a divorce. And where does it even start? I don't even know where it even begins.
Well, for starters, I can tell you, I jack up my hourly rate immediately.
I don't blame you.
Good for you.
You know, it's interesting, and I think some of the news that's coming out of this is telling, right? So I've done some digging today and looking around like everybody else is, because it's really interesting. I mean, the reports of their fortune run from, you know, $127 billion up to $137 billion. I'm sure they don't even know on a daily basis how much they have. But when we're talking about a divorce, the first thing we talk about is process. And what do I mean by that? I mean, are we going into court? Are we going to try to sit down at the table and work this out? And much of the reports that are coming out, many of them are indicating that they have submitted to the court something called a separation contract. So they may call it something different in Washington State, and it seems they do. In New York State, we would call it a separation agreement. But essentially what that does is that is a document or a contract between the two spouses that lays out exactly what they are going to do with all of their assets.
Oh.
And you ultimately submit that to the court because the court is the only place with authority to actually grant a divorce. Dissimilar from when you go and get your marriage certificate and you go down to the county clerk's office and you get it, you have to have a judge actually dissolve your marriage. So it looks like what has happened between the Gateses is that they amicably sat down, worked this through, and came to an agreement between the two parties. And now they're just asking the court to sign off on that, approve it, and let them legally dissolve their marriage. But, you know, God bless them. Like, if when you're talking about $137 billion, granted, there's plenty to go around, right? But yeah, I mean, it seems like they were able to proceed in a way that, you know, in an amicable process. Perhaps it was a collaborative law process or a mediation. I kind of doubt it was a mediation because we're talking big, big numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, good for them. I mean, I wish that more people could do that. I think, you know, the reports are saying, too, they have three children.
Right.
And just because you get divorced doesn't mean your family's over or your family's ending. It's truly just moving into a new stage of how that family is going to look and how you guys are going to relate to each other. And good for them, right? I mean,
right.
It's a tough, tough thing to go mm-hmm. through, but wow, I'm impressed by reading that.
Yeah.
I was kind of shocked. I thought we were going to get some good
dirt.
Juicy details.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with this, we're not.
Oh, there's still time. There's still time, Sarah.
That's true. That's true. Somebody could change their mind, but.
We're on the phone with Sarah Wesley from Wesley Clark and Peshkin. Sarah, what I'm curious about is how are they going to run their foundation together? Like, how is that going to work? Have you seen couples who end up still working together even after their marriage is over?
You know, I don't think it's common. We often, where there's a business involved, we'll divide that business up and people will get their, you know, share out of it. But I think what it tells me is that they truly have committed to being, you know, civil with each other and reasonable with each other. And if they were able to come to an agreement, I mean, they're able to work through and compromise and find common ground. And so I would expect that, you know, these are two people who are wildly successful, who do a lot of good in the world. and who it sounds like are committed to continuing that venture despite their marriage ending. So if they can do it, good for them. I mean, I don't know if I could do it, but I certainly, I have a lot of respect for them if they can, because it, it takes a certain level of maturity and truly, you know, respect for each other to be able to continue in business together.
Yeah. Well, you know, because Meg and I were having a discussion yesterday about this, and I think we were saying that, you know, at some point they've been together for like 30 years or something. And at some point it just almost became like a business. So I don't see it difficult for them to continue in that relationship. But so I don't find that. I think being out of it emotionally and maybe lovingly is almost secondary to that. So but on the other hand, like that, so like, I mean, well, what about assets like houses and things like that? But forget the money. What about the other stuff?
Well, you can't cut houses in half, right? But one party can buy the other one out. I think I read that they have some gigantic mansion in Washington that's worth like $150 million or something.
They wouldn't even have to see each other if they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Just live there. Theoretically, one party would have to buy the other out of the equity in order to distribute those things. But I kind of doubt that's their only house. So there may have been some trading of horses, right? Like you keep the house in Washington and I'll keep the one in the Caribbean. Who knows?
That's
but,
true. Sarah, somebody's asking on the text line, 222-9500, what happens when one party doesn't follow the separation agreement?
Ooh,
like if they had a deal to refinance the house into their name by a certain date and it doesn't happen, what happens then?
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So often what happens is then you would bring something called an enforcement proceeding in court. And it's essentially the enforcement of a contract, that agreement that they signed that divides all of their assets and gives them affirmative duties, things that they have to do to complete that contract or to follow through on it. If they don't do it, you bring them into court and you sue them for enforcement. Sometimes though, and very often what we do, and you know, we do over 500 divorces a year at Wesley Clark & Peshkin. So we have a lot of all of this, right? But, what will happen is that if a couple has used an amicable process, an out of court process, like mediation or collaboration, if there is a default, meaning they have not done what they were supposed to do as a part of that contract, very often we will reconvene that amicable process. So we'll go back to the table and we'll see if there's a way to resolve whatever problem has come up before going into court. And if you can't, you can't, and you file papers and you go before a judge and the judge makes a determination if they did what they were supposed to do or didn't do what they were supposed to do. So, you know, there's lots of ways to address it. But the final decider, if you can't come to an agreement, is always a judge.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned earlier about them having to come up with a list of their assets to present to the judge. Now, does that determine how much do they take in consideration what you are choosing to use that the money for as far as how much you're going to get?
So not normally. Typically, so New York State is an equitable distribution state. That means that it's not 50-50. It doesn't just get divided right down the middle, but it's what's fair. And there are times that, you know, things aren't divided equally between the parties for one reason or another. It's not often that there will be a look into the future of what specific funds are going to be used for, but there are very limited circumstances where an individual, you know, let's say that one party has a really serious drug or alcohol problem and they're in bad shape, right? And they're making bad decisions and they're going to continue to make bad financial decisions. That could be a situation where a judge might look at the circumstances and say, you know what? I'm not dividing this 50-50. I'm going to give the party who is being more responsible and is not in the throes of a serious crisis more assets so that they're not depleted for the whole family unit, right?
Right. Okay.
But I can tell you, you know, most of the time, it's a pretty even divide. Anything that was earned during the marriage, so the day you get married, that whole two become one thing is real. That's not just a saying. It's not just nice flowery language for a wedding.
It is
a legal thing. Mm. And so every dollar I earned from the day I got married, my husband was entitled to 50 cents of, and vice versa.
Wow.
So that's how you start trying to figure out what all of this looks like. Now, granted, if they had a prenuptial agreement, which I don't think they did.
I keep reading conflicting reports on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell. There are reports going both ways. But if you have a prenuptial agreement, you're kind of laying out those things ahead of time, right? So if Bill Gates had a prenuptial agreement, it would probably say you're not entitled to anything from Microsoft in the event that we got divorced, to protect his business interest. But I can't tell if they had one or not. It maybe they did, and that enabled them to come to quick resolution of how the assets would be divided. But you know, it's when they're filing and their contract is being kept confidential, we may never know what that looked like.
Yeah, I think I personally believe that because of the amount of the money that's involved, I think that had the tendency to make them more civilized. I don't know why.
I think
that's what that's why it seemed to make sense. And there's no fight. Look, you tell me. You do 500 of these a year. I'm sure you've seen people fight over stuff that you're going, I wouldn't pick that up if it was on the curb on a Thursday night, waiting for Friday morning. You know?
Exactly, right? Exactly. I mean, I think when you're talking about this kind of marital estate, 100 billion plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of money to go around it. And I think that helps to eliminate the fear that a lot of people have when they're going into divorce. And that fear is justified and it's normal. And it's like, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, what am I going to do? How can I keep the house? How am I going to feed the kids if you're the spouse who earns less? And that can be a really legitimate concern going into divorce. But when you're talking about $100 billion, like if you can't feed your kids on that, man, you're doing something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. Peanut butter. You know how much peanut butter and jelly you can get with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can change your kids' names to Skippy and Jif for that price of money. Listen, let me ask you this kind of a business question, slightly personal sort of thing, because you seem like a very wonderful person. You have a nice, light demeanor about yourself. This has to be a hard job to do because you have people coming in there with many different emotions. I mean, how do you get to a point on a daily basis where you're able to just kind of deal with that? You don't seem like the kind of person that becomes, you know, immune to it or calloused. I'm just wondering, how do you deal with that sort of thing?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think it takes a real toll, you know? I mean, it's hard work. You are serving both as these people's confidant, their counsel. You're trying to help them through the process emotionally, and it can be very hard to stay, distant from that and not let it seep in and affect you in your personal life. But, you know, what I can say about all of our attorneys here and our hiring process and our training program is that we try to meet people where they are and to really find their humanity and to help identify what their fears are and mm-hmm. what their goals are. And if you can provide people with information and a plan to move forward, that really helps relieve a lot of that anxiety.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was asking. Yes.
Yeah. So if you're helping relieve your client's anxiety and helping them see a pathway through to the end, you're eliminating some of that, you know, fear and that reaction-based kind of behavior. And so it becomes easier on you, frankly. You know, there's a lot to be said for being compassionate and being empathetic and sympathetic and really trying to help people through what's a really, really difficult time. And to not absorb it means to make sure that you're providing really solid, good advice, that you're showing them that pathway through to the end of it. And that will help ease their fears, which means you won't have to deal with as much of the emotional fallout. And quite frankly, honestly, I tell all of our clients when they come in, look, I can do a lot to help you through this, but I'm not a mental health professional.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, this is like a death in some ways. You have to grieve this. You have to be comfortable. You have to move through it in order to move on. So don't wait. Like, go talk to someone. There's no shame in that. It's a really good thing to do. And it can be, you can have a great partner and a therapist going through a divorce as well.
That's why I can tell why you were voted best divorce attorney, Sarah, in Rochester GNC Choice Award.
I don't know. Do you smile? Do you smile when you hold up that award? I mean, it's almost like
I don't know.
It's almost like the last guy that gets picked for the draft. I mean, it's a great day. However,
it's prestige.
Right. It's a little crazy. I mean, I think that I'm so grateful for that honor, and I really appreciate it. You know, it's something to be said that it was people who voted for it in the community, and I do think that a lot of that goes along with our philosophy here. Of at Wesley Clark and Peshkin, of trying to do no harm and trying to really help families through this process as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times that you have to drop the gloves and go in and fight, right? But from the start, we really genuinely try to look at options that are amicable for our clients to try to reduce that fear and, frankly, to reduce cost for them. I mean, we've had people who spend, you know, $100,000 on a divorce. Like, it's crazy. That's your kid's college, you know? I mean, that is not an ideal situation, and I don't think it's good for families. I don't think it's good for kids if you can't come to agreement, because you are, as I said earlier, you're going to be a family when this is over, too. Your family is going to look different,
right?
But it's not over, right? So, I mean, we start every consult by talking about mediation and talking about collaboration, and we try to find the perfect fit for each client who comes through our door and say, you know, if this is an option and we can try it and see if it can work, you'll never regret trying, right? If it doesn't work, we can always go to court. That's fine.
Okay.
But, you know, if there is a more civil way through it, man, let's try it.
Okay, before we let you go, how do people get a hold of you? I hope they don't have to, quite frankly.
I hope they don't have to either.
I'm kind of torn. Yes.
If they do, we do offer free consultations. And they can either call us at the office. It's 585-546-1734. The fastest way is probably just to go to the website, which is wcplaw.com.
Okay. Well, Sarah Wesley, thank you very much. Hey, say hello to Clark and Peskin for us. And,
Hi, Sarah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we got any other questions in this area? Pat might need you eventually.
Free consults for everybody.
There you go. Free is good. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sarah. I love her.
I do too.
I like want to get married and divorced
just to meet her.
When I think
about it is like, well, that's why I asked her. I was like, so you know, your demeanor has to be really just. I mean, because you got people that come in and go. You got the people that come in and go, I can't wait to get away from that, whatever. And then the people that go, I can't believe my life is changing like this.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to adjust to those kind of people. That's a funk fest right there.
I love it.
You can have that job.
She seems great.
Yeah, she seemed really nice for that job.